Life is full of great mysteries, the unknown, the unexplained. Like if you mail styrofoam cups, what do you pack them in? A couple of people got that one. Or another great mystery of life, if Cinderella's slipper fits so perfectly, why did it fall off? Right? Why is abbreviation such a long word? Who closes the door when the bus driver gets off? Right? These are great mysteries. I can't solve these mysteries for you today, I'm afraid. I don't have answers to all of these questions. But I do know that the Bible reveals answers to other great mysteries of life, maybe even that are more important than those that I just mentioned. We believe that the Bible is true. We believe that the Bible is God's own word, and it reveals God's truth for our lives. It reveals who God is and how He wants us to live. It reveals the great mysteries, the truly great mysteries and important mysteries of life, like what is the meaning and purpose of my life, and what happens after we die. The Bible answers these questions. If you've been following the Immerse reading schedule, I know a lot of us have been. We're right now in the middle of Paul's letters, which of course are filled with lots of extraordinary things, including some really deep theology. And Paul often wrote about and addressed the great mysteries of life. And when Paul would write about these things, he was speaking from God's own truth, the Spirit inspiring the truth that Paul wrote there. And so he dealt with these great mysteries, mysteries not that hadn't been solved, not that these were mysteries that we could never figure out, but Paul would write about the great mysteries of life that have, in fact, been uncovered, have been resolved for us. And time after time, the solution that Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, found to the most important questions of life, time after time, the solution that he came to was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Paul traveled the world. He wrote letters to the early churches that have become a great portion of the New Testament today. And at the heart of Paul's ministry was revealing the mysteries of life by pointing people to Jesus. And so listen to what Paul wrote in Colossians. We're going to begin near the end of chapter 1 at verse 24 and then continue into chapter 2 all the way down to chapter 2 verse 5. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I am filled up in my flesh with what is still lacking what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of my body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are, and how firm your faith in Christ is. Our faith doesn't have any secrets. We don't hide away our teachings. We don't conceal over the most important things about our faith so that only the most important people can know the real truth. Cults and corrupt politicians and organized crime bosses, that's who acts that way. They hide away their secrets. They conceal their true intentions. They cover up their misdeeds so that ordinary people don't know exactly what they're doing. But that's not how the Church of Jesus Christ operates. We exist, in fact, to reveal truth. We exist to uncover the mysteries, to help people know God, to understand the meaning of life, and to help others understand that meaning as well. And so Paul writes here that the goal of his ministry, and he talks about all that he's suffered and all the people he's been seeking to reach and all the effort that he's going through for the sake of this particular goal. He says, so that people may have the full riches of understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. What Paul wanted the Colossians to understand, and what the Holy Spirit wants us to know even today, is that the great mystery of God has been revealed in Jesus Christ. All through human history, people have looked up into the skies. They've looked up into the heavens. They've wondered, who's up there? Where did all this come from? What is life all about? And then Jesus came into the world, and he came to show people as plainly and as clearly as could be done who God is and what life is all about. And so for those of us who know Jesus, for those of us who have come to understand, as Paul says, the great riches of this good news about Jesus Christ, the mystery about God has been solved. The mystery has been made known. And that was the amazing revelation that changed Paul's life. You remember the story about Paul. He was one who persecuted the Church of Jesus. And he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was opposing false teaching by opposing the message of Jesus Christ. And then one day Paul was off on his mission at that time, which was to persecute the church, and Jesus appeared to him and totally changed his life and helped him understand that what he thought was false teaching was in fact the truth of God. And Paul changed from one who persecuted the church to one who then, as a follower of Jesus, became persecuted for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. And he found the answer to the mysteries of God and the mysteries of life in Jesus Christ. And then Paul spent the rest of his life helping everyone he could come to understand that mystery as well. But of course, not everyone accepts the truth, and that's still true today. Not everyone accepts the truth. Some people don't want to know how Jesus Christ unravels the mysteries of God. And that's why Paul and so many other believers have suffered for their faith. That's why people even today in other parts of the world, and to some degree, even in our culture, people are, what we see, what we might experience, people might be ridiculed. In other parts of the world, people are actually put to death for their faith. Because there are still some who don't want to know the mystery, who don't want to hear that there is an answer to the great questions of life. And so, as Paul says, he had to suffer in his own body the afflictions that came because he stood up for Jesus Christ. And yet Paul says he pressed on to become a servant of the gospel message. He says that he strenuously contended for the faith and for the truth of Jesus, and that his mission was to tell people about Jesus pursuing it, he says, pursuing that great goal, this great mission that he's been given with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. In other words, Paul says he works as hard as he possibly can, even suffering physical persecution, doing everything that he can to make the mysteries of God known to the world. Because we don't conceal the truth. We don't hide anything. Instead, we devote our lives, just as Paul did, to making known the truth of Jesus Christ. We don't try to trick people into following our faith. We don't try to tell them one thing when the truth is something else. No, we make it all clear and plain. And just as Paul worked hard and risked his life and ultimately gave his life that they may know the mystery of God, that is just what the Holy Spirit invites us to do today as Jesus followers, to be the witnesses of Jesus to the very ends of the earth. And so our church also exists for that very same mission. We help people know Jesus, who is the solution to life's greatest mysteries. For example, people wonder, what is the meaning of life? And I imagine you know people who ask that question. What? Why am I here? What's this all about? Why do I live on this earth? What is the meaning? What is the purpose of my life? That's not just a question for philosophy classes, right? This is a question that I think everybody, everywhere, in every culture, all through history, to some degree, in whatever words they might use, but they ask the same question. Why am I here? What should I do to make life worth living? And those are good questions to be asking. In fact, that's the right question that people should be asking. And it's a question that maybe the world can't give an adequate answer to, but it's a question that we believe God has answered very clearly for us. It's a mystery that needs to be solved. People want their lives to have meaning. Now, the good news is that Jesus himself has given us an answer to this great question. What is the meaning of life? And so Jesus has given us the answer. In Matthew chapter 22, and we can find this answer also in Mark chapter 12, but Jesus said this in Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, Jesus taught that our lives can have ultimate meaning, can have real purpose, if we love God and love the people around us. And so if anybody ever asks you that question, what is the meaning of my life? I don't know why I'm here. You can tell them the ultimate meaning in life, the reason you are here on this earth, is so that you can love God and so you can love the people around you. And if you do those two things, if you base your life on living out those two great principles that Jesus taught us, then your life will not only be good, but it will be beneficial to the people around you. It will be honoring to God. And it will show the world who Jesus is. We love God through our worship, through our devotion. We love God through our obedience. We love God by seeking His will to be done. We love God by loving the people that He loves. And we love our neighbors in practical ways. We show them compassion. We meet their needs. We listen to them. We pray for them. We care for them. We even sacrifice to meet their needs rather than always just seeking after what we want. And if we love God and we love the people around us, then we will show the world what it means to live a life of meaning and purpose. Jesus gives us the answer to the great mysteries of life. Now, there's another great mystery. People often wonder, is there a God and can I know Him? Maybe people stop thinking about their own lives for just a moment and they look up to the sky and they think, well, is there a God? And if there is a God, can I know who that God is? Now, of course, we live in a nation where most people believe in God, right? We even sometimes say that America is a Christian nation, which I don't particularly believe is true. But let me give you a couple of statistics from this year. Pew Research Center did some studies, and they're constantly asking these questions to people, and they kind of track this, and numbers will change over time. But currently, over 90% of Americans believe in a higher power. That's pretty good. 90%. Most of the people you know believe that there is some form of a deity who watches over us somewhere, someone out there who is a higher power. That's pretty good. The same survey also revealed that over 70% of Americans believe that God does not reveal himself to us. Think about that. 70% of Americans believe that God doesn't speak to us and God doesn't tell us who he is. And so the question that is raised in my mind is, how can we possibly know God, or even know if there is a God, if he doesn't tell us anything about himself? It also raises the question in my mind, who would want to know a God who doesn't make himself known? And I think those two statistics point out why people are so spiritually confused today. They want to believe in a God, and yet they don't believe that God tells us who he is. Of course, the God of the Bible, the God who we know through Jesus Christ, is in the business of making himself known. That's why we have the Bible, because God wrote it for us. He inspired its writing so that we could know him, so that we could love him and understand who he is and understand what he does for us. Our God speaks to us. Our God invites us, wants us to know him. And so he makes himself clear and knowable to us. We heard earlier in the service from John chapter 1. Let me read the last verse of that passage again. It says, no one has ever seen God. I've never seen God. No one's ever seen God. But the one and only Son, that is Jesus, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This is why Jesus came into the world. Because through Jesus we can know and love God. And so people ask, well, if there's a God, how can I know him? What's he like? Does God know who I am? Can I know who he is? Can I love God? Does God love me? And the answer to those questions is through Jesus Christ. We can know and love God, just as he already knows and loves us. This is the very heart of the good news. This is the solution to the great mystery. Yes, there is a God, and he loves you, and we can know him through Jesus Christ, and we also can help others know him as well. Now, this brings us to life's final great mystery. People wonder, what's the meaning of my life? People wonder, is there a God? Can I know him? The final great mystery of life, I think, is this. People wonder, what will happen when I die? Maybe I have meaning in this life. Maybe I can understand who God is somehow. But what about when I die? Then what happens? And that's maybe the greatest question of all. If my life has meaning now, and if there's a God who loves me, then can I go and be with God forever? for us who read the Bible, for us who believe what we read in Scripture, there is no mystery in this question. God's message about eternity is everywhere in Scripture. If you look for it, you will find it nearly on every page of the Bible. That God makes promises that are not just for this life, but for all eternity. And perhaps the clearest statement of the revealing of this great mystery comes in John 3:16, a verse that probably most people you know could at least tell you something about this verse, and we probably all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the good news. That is the promise of God, that everyone who comes to Jesus finds everlasting life. That's the heart of the Christian faith. The great mystery that Jesus came to uncover, that God doesn't want to be a mystery at all. God doesn't want us to be confused about this. People ask what happens when we die, and God says, I've told you clearly over and over again, if you come to Jesus Christ in faith, then you can have everlasting life. Now let's be honest, eternal life itself is mysterious. Heaven is beyond our comprehension. I don't know what heaven is going to look like. I believe that we will go there when we die. But what it will be like? Well, the Bible only gives us some glimpses, some hints as to what heaven will actually be like. Did you know that God once gave Paul a glimpse into heaven? Paul was given this extraordinary revelation. He writes about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he says that he was given visions and revelations. He was transported. He says, I don't know if I went there in my own body or if it was just like a dream, but God gave me this vision of what heaven would be like. And Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as he's describing this, we kind of ask along with Paul, well, what was it like then, Paul? You've been there. You've seen it. Paul, tell us what it was like. And you keep reading verse after verse of what he's writing there, and Paul, in essence, says back to us, I'm sorry, I can't tell you what it was like because it was beyond words. And he says this, he says, I was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. And so in the same way, we know God, and we love God even though we haven't seen Him. And we believe that Jesus is our Savior even though we didn't witness Him die on the cross and rise again. Because that's how our faith answers the great mysteries of life. We find these answers through our faith in Jesus. And when we do, our life has meaning. When we find these answers through faith, our souls come alive and we begin to rejoice with this unmistakable reality of God's love present with us. But in the end, the answers to the mysteries of life have to be accepted through faith. And some people don't accept the answers, just as some people don't have faith in Jesus. And so we pray for them and we hope in faith that they will one day come to know Jesus Christ. But like Paul, we affirm God's grace, that Jesus is the one we proclaim, so that they may know, so that the world may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that is our mission, to make known the mystery of God, just as we have come to know who God is. So let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll give thanks today. Father, we do give you thanks that these mysteries have been revealed. Lord, we thank You that by Your grace and through faith we have come to know Jesus. And in Him we have the assurance that You do love us. That You've created us for a purpose and that You've revealed what that purpose is. So Lord, help us to love You and to love the people around us. Help us to tell Your story also so that others can come to know that You do exist and that You do love us and that through Jesus Christ we can have a relationship with You. And Lord, teach us to hold on to that great promise that You've given us, that this life is not all there is, that one day we'll go and be with You for all eternity. And Lord, even though we don't know exactly what heaven will be like, we know for sure that it will be far better than anything we experience in this life, and that we will be in Your glorious presence forever. Lord, we thank You for this truth, and I pray that You'd help us to carry with us the faith in Your love and the mission to share this good news with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.